Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Two intergalactic armies fly into view of each other. Warship after warship and platoon after platoon await the signals from their respective leaders. On one side, Thanos sits on his throne, ruminating on the choices that have led him to this moment. He motions to his comms officer to hail the other ship, and the image of Darkseid appears on the monitor before him.
"We seem to be at odds with one another," Thanos grumbles. "Our fleets and soldiers are no doubt the highest level we could find."
"Get to the point,"
Darkseid bellows back.
"What if we concluded our business mano a mano, with the winner taking control of the resources of the loser?"
Darkseid analyzes the options.
"This is amenable,"
he responds, and now both fleets look on to see who will be crowned their new commander. It's purple and gold versus blue and silver. It's Titan versus Apocalypse. It's Thanos versus Darkseid. Round two on Who Would Win.
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Sicanus. Legion of Audience, we may have created a monster with Showdown September. Our last episode of Goku versus Superman from last week caused such havoc, such insane turmoil and fan interest that the Who Would Win show production team felt they had no choice but to do, yeah, you guessed it, another rematch. In one corner, you have Thanos, a galactic warlord from the Marvel Universe who seeks to impose his vision of balance across the universe. In the other corner, you have Darkseid, DC Comics' tyrannical ruler of Apocalypse, who seeks to dominate all life throughout the universe. Actually, the multiverse. I stand corrected. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And of course, this matchup has been discussed, obviously, billions of times, and has even been done on the Who Would Win show before, but with so much backlash from the first time we did this battle, we find ourselves giving this match another chance for the Who Would Win treatment. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
Why is it every single time I win a battle, you go on and on about fan backlash? What's that? You know what? Maybe it's possible that I just dominated the conversation. Maybe it's possible you didn't bring your A game to a AAA level show. Maybe it's possible that I'm just plain better. just like Thanos, is just plain better than Darkseid. You know what? I should be insulted. I even have to do this again. But because I like big checks at the end of September that inevitably come, I am here with bells on to do round two, Thanos versus Darkseid.
All right, hey, look, let's kind of remind the Legion of audience what happened the first time this matchup took place last year, or years ago, I should say, in Showdown September of years past. Here's the deal. We were having a great matchup, and then all of a sudden you said, well, obviously Thanos has the Infinity Stones and the Infinity Gauntlet. I argued back like, well, wait a minute. This is something he has to search through the universe to get. It's not just something he has on him at all times, like Batman and his utility belt. And you said, no, no, it is. And the judge says, let's let it slide anyway, and gave the win to Thanos. I felt that was very suspect, as did the Legion of audience. We had huge backlash saying that is not in spirit for the character. The only question I have is, are you going to try the same type of shenanigans for today's episode? What say you, Race to Canis?
James, this is like my fourth time repping Thanos on the Who Would Win show in six seasons. We've done it at this point. And every single time, every single judge has agreed he has the Infinity Stones and the Gauntlet, because that's what he's really known for amongst the masses. Would you take Silver Surfer's surfboard away from him? Would you take away, I don't know, would you take away Superman's cape from him? Batman's utility belt? My gravitas? No, you would never take away someone's iconic thing that they're known for in a battle like this. Of course he's going to have the stones. Of course my third point will be that. Let's just keep it real. Your whining is what cost you that first battle. You complained and complained about a thing we already pretty much knew was going to happen, to the point where the judge didn't want to hear you anymore.
That's not actually quite what happened. The judge is like, I think it's fun if he has the stones. Let's let it slide. Look, just like in the last episode, the question we really have is, do we have a judge today that can be the adult in the
room? Yes, we have a judge today, James.
Okay, good. So is this someone who's going to be the adult in the room? Is this someone who can corral you and I, because you and I are going to get insanely heated with what's about to unleash in the show? Let's find out. Making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show is comic book writer extraordinaire and the current writer of Huge Detective for Titan Comics. By the way, issue number 2 just came out. Yeah, you guessed it. It's Adam Rose. Adam, welcome to Who Would Win.
Thank you guys for having me. I am fired up to be the most objective, neutral judge I could possibly be in all universes.
That is exactly why we hired you for today's episode. Look, before we get into what's about to be an insane Showdown September event slash episode, please tell the Legion of audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Oh, I have a comic out right now with Titan Comics called Huge Detective with my artist partner, Magenta King. It's kind of a BFG Roald Dahl meets True Detective Chinatown, where these huge giants and humans have a murder mystery that's going down, and somebody has to figure out if it was a huge that did it or a human or what's going on.
All right, that's very cool. Listen, Legion of audience, go out and buy Huge Detective. Buy issue number 1. Get issue number 2. Support this. This thing is going to be amazing. I guarantee it. With that being said, there's some other stuff you may be working on that's also quite significant. What say you, Adam?
I had the beyond pleasure dream come true to get to work on the upcoming Kraven the Hunter movie. I got to just do some deep diving story consulting, like looking at like all kinds of characters from all just the history of Kraven and whatnot in the Marvel world. And just, I can't wait to see it. It's coming out middle of December, and it's going to be fun. It's the fact that it's R rated is, you know, the violence is turned up a couple notches. Aaron Taylor Johnson is, I think, pretty badass in it. So it was awesome to get to work on that.
A rated R rating, you know, for Kraven the Hunter just makes so much sense for when you look at the character. I mean, this is just something that parents with kids who want to go see a comic movie are going to have to understand. Keep it real for the character. That's insanely okay. I can't wait for Kraven. Now, more importantly, even more important than that, look, you've got this epic episode. You've got a huge responsibility to be the judge for quite possibly what could be our grandest episode of all time for the Who Would Win show, of Thanos versus Darkseid. I just got to ask, how can you said you're going to be a neutral, you know, kind of judge for this. How are you going to ensure that?
Well, I grew up reading comics nonstop since I was 10. And yeah, in my early days, I maybe had the immaturity of saying, oh no, I'm Marvel all the way, or I'm DC all the way. Now I am character all the way. Now I am writer all the way, artist all the way. So I feel like I have matured into this objective judge you see before you. I am the watcher, but I am also one of those little blue guys from Oa.
A guardian. Fantastic. Yes. Listen, I think that's what they are. Ray, all I'm going to say is, Ray, do you see this? Personal growth. Personal growth. You can achieve this. I still think that you can achieve this as well. We'll have to see. All right,
James,
listen.
You can't grow when you're already perfect.
You see what I got to put up with, Adam? This is a thing. All right, look, we've got an amazing judge. We've got Thanos. We've got Darkseid. We've got Showdown September about to blow up. This is what I'm talking about. I live for this kind of stuff. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the warlord who courted Lady Death so hard that he alienated his best friend, Ronald McDonald, Thanos. And representing DC Comics, the overlord who once lost his pants in a fight, and let me tell you, everyone saw the dark side of the moon. Darkseid.
Again, I'm going to use the air quotes. Well done, Ray.
I worked hard on those.
There's a horrible death McDonald's reference we could put in there, but we won't, Ray. That is
R.I.P. Morgan Spurlock. You are missed.
That's right. Before we go any further, that has nothing to do with anything, Ray. Before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. Visit sayword.co/collections and click on the Who Would Win merch section. That's sayword.co/collections to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Thanos.
Thanos is a galactic warlord hailing from the moon Titan. He was created by Jim Starlin and Mike Frederick, and first appeared in The Invincible Iron Man number 55 back in 1973. Thanos the Mad Titan quickly went from being comics known to world known after the last two Avengers movies. Thanos conquers galaxy after galaxy in comics to impress Lady Death, for whom he came up with the whole plot to extinguish life of half the universe. Now he pulled it off, and she still wasn't impressed. Go figure. If at this point in time, quite honestly, you still don't know who Thanos is, I might suggest that you do what all the internet trolls advise and pick up a book. Fun fact, Thanos might be a ruthless, cold-blooded killer, but did you know that in canon of Marvel, he celebrates Christmas? Yes. Back when Gamora was just 5 years old, Thanos was seen giving her both a Christmas tree as well as presents to celebrate the holiday. How he did this in deep space, I do not know, but that just goes to show you, tis the season. And that is Thanos.
Very cool, and here are the important details for Darkseid. Now created by the iconic Jack Kirby, Darkseid first appeared in Superman's Pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 134, back in November of 1970. Darkseid is the tyrannical ruler of Apocalypse, a sadistic, aggressive, and merciless tyrant who has invaded and conquered countless worlds throughout the universe. As the actual god of tyranny, Darkseid seeks to enslave all things to his will. On his own, Darkseid is one of the most powerful beings in all of existence, whose mere name brings fear into the hearts of billions, and yeah, even Superman is really afraid of this guy. Considered to be amongst the greatest threats to the DC universe, Darkseid has often battled and beaten numerous powerful heroes, groups of heroes, superpowered armies, and entire civilizations, all in order to impose his will and make what he feels is a chaotic universe turn into one of order under his command, of course. And here's an interesting fact about Darkseid. Did you know that Darkseid has committed by far the most evil act ever witnessed in a comic book? It's true. Look, in the various comic book universes and companies, we've seen the ultimate acts of evil committed, from the genocide of entire races to the oblivion of the multiverse. We've seen evil in its purest form committed by the most evil beings to ever spring forth from humanity. But Darkseid committed the greatest evil of all, where we witnessed him. I don't even know if I can say this. I'm just going to do it. We saw Darkseid take a potato chip, put it in some dip, take a bite, and then double dip the chip.
Whoa.
That's right. That's, oh yeah, I'm not kidding. As depicted on Seinfeld, Darkseid double dips a chip and doesn't care. It's no wonder that even Superman is scared to death of this guy. That's crazy. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Adam, do you have any questions before we get started?
I love that Mr. Miracle moment so much. So no questions. I'm ready to hear about Omega Beams and Infinity Gems.
Wow, I should have put something in about Omega Beams. I'm just making a quick note right now. Very cool. Ray, go ahead. Get this party started. Hit us with your point number one.
Yeah, I am going to be doing the comic book version of Thanos. And quite honestly, I was so happy with my performance the last time I did him last season in Thanos versus One Punch Man that I'm going to be sticking to that playbook, James. I'm just going to lay it out for you right now. So that way there's no more crying when you lose once again. Point number one for Thanos. Let's talk about his full level of durability. He's one of the most durable, ridiculous characters in all of comic books. This guy does Deadpool and Lobo and Wolverine stuff like it's nobody's business. Look, Captain Marvel punched Thanos and broke his hand in the attempt. Namor, I don't care how you want to pronounce it. Broken hand when he tried to punch the man as well. This is a guy who took Ronan's universal weapon. You remember Ronan the Accuser, pretty beef guy. He snuck up behind him and hit him with a cheap shot when he wasn't looking in like the neck and head area with the universal weapon. And he just stood there, didn't move, and was like, yeah, I figured you'd be the kind of guy who would hit me from behind when I'm not looking. That's outrageous. That would kill 98% of the universe. And Thanos is just like, oh, I'm just so disappointed in your tactics. Outrageous stuff. He fights against energy blasts a lot. Let's face it, it's Marvel. There's a lot of punching, kicking, throwing, and there's a lot of energy beams. He's tanked full-on energy beams from the highest users of energy. We're talking Odin blasted him at basically point-blank range, maybe within 5 feet away, and he was fine. Silver Surfer hit him with cosmic energy, and he was fine. Adam Warlock, another guy known in Marvel. This guy is huge. Nothing. He got hit with what equates to a Death Star beam from Annihilus's throne world, right? He took several shots. This is a weapon that in this story killed Thor, Gladiator, the Hulk, and Hyperion. That's Marvel's version of Superman, right? He took it multiple times and walked away from it. This, what is Darkseid possibly going to do to put this man down? Let's not even talk about the fact, as mentioned before, Thanos was dragged to Ego, the living planet's core. And he got out of it from that gravity push. He got teleported into the middle of a star and got out of that with no problem. He took 3 point blank shots from Black Bolt. Black Bolt, like he could eradicate massive mountains with his voice. No big deal. He went into a black hole, got out of it. He went through dimensions. And as he was hurtling through all of the multiversal dimensions, he was getting reality warped in every single one. And he even made the point to say, I am a universal monster. I am the king of the world, Thanos. I will always revert back to my true form, no matter what you do to me with a reality manipulation. And then he did. So again, he doesn't go down. He went into a comet. He was vaporized into a skeleton. And then within, I believe, 3 panels of the comic was back, healed up to his purest form again. So anything Darkseid dreams of hitting him with, and I'm sure you'll come up with something, it's not going to be enough to keep him down. Mental attacks. He resisted possession, I believe from the Purple Man. And when he needs to, if he absolutely does, he also has force fields to stop anything that comes after him to the point where Galactus shot his force field. And that normally is game over, no matter who you are and what you're putting up. Galactus said, oh, you're the only being I've encountered. I actually had to like push a little bit in order to get it to do something. Now, it hurt Thanos for sure, but he was able to broker a parlay, talk to Galactus afterwards because he gained his respect in that moment. And that's the point. I don't know that Darkseid has something strong enough to put down the Mad Titan. And that's my point number one.
All right, some good points for Thanos. I will say this, Drax actually was able to take out Thanos with one shot, punched right through his chest, and, you know, I think it was from behind, through his back. His hand appears out through his chest. I mean, just one shot at him, take him out. That was pretty awesome. The Hulk, in a recent comic book issue, just beat Thanos as well in a one-on-one fight. That's not a bad thing at all. It's the Hulk. But still, you know, Thanos got taken out. You know, death beams, what have you. It's true. Thanos is able to tank planet destruction, you know, attacks. I'm not going to joke you about that. That's actually pretty cool. You got to love Thanos, by the way. But that's really not even on the level of what Darkseid can tank. Reality warping, that's cool. Darkseid is also someone who survived intact through, you know, when the DC universe gets reimagined and reset, the new 52, which I personally couldn't stand. Darkseid just retained his new form, even though Superman and everyone else got reimagined. Darkseid just stayed the same from his pre-52 state all the way to today. He's a universal being as well and so much more. But let me get to my point number one. My point number one, look, Darkseid is just terrifying. Here's why he could absolutely crush Thanos in a fight. Look, first, let's talk about his physiology. It's like a new god physiology. He's not just another cosmic being. He exists literally outside of time and space. This is kind of confusing. His true form, or what's called Godhead, is a multiversal entity of pure evil who is exponentially bigger in size than Godzilla. So what you're seeing whenever you see Darkseid in the comic books, that's one of his avatars that has a fraction of his power. It's crazy to think that an avatar is taking on Superman and the Justice League and beating them. But yeah, that's not even Darkseid that we're seeing. That's an avatar of Darkseid. Now, these avatars are crazy. Darkseid himself is immortal. He's lived for over 245,000 years, shows no signs of weakening, he's getting stronger by the day. He's insanely physically powerful and strong. In the comic book series Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, I love this. We see Darkseid move entire planets with ease. Yeah, I said it, with ease. His invulnerability isn't just cosmic level. He's withstood the destruction of literally entire universes. We saw this in Final Crisis, a great comic book series. And we're not talking about surviving black holes or galaxy-wide explosions. Darkseid survived universal destruction. Thanos, with or without the Infinity Gauntlet, has never faced anything on that scale. Oh, an energy attack. Darkseid absorbs them. This is awesome. Whether it's Superman's heat vision or powerful cosmic blast, Darkseid just takes those energy blasts, that energy that shot him, and then he just powers himself up with them. It's kind of really crazy. Or use them to just, you know, shoot up his own unique power blast as well. His speed, this is crazy because he's a massive guy. His speed's on another level. He has what's called universal level speed. This allows him to travel across the universe in seconds. Look, in Justice League Odyssey, another great comic book, he crossed the entire universe effortlessly, like super quick. I think it was like 3 seconds total. That same feat took Dr. Fate, the most powerful magic user in the DC universe. That took him days to do, which is still pretty impressive to cross the universe in days. And Darkseid isn't just strong and fast. He's got an insane healing factor. He can heal from anything. He can regenerate lost body parts. He did that in Final Crisis as well. He's got superhuman stamina. This is great. He can fight at full strength for years if necessary. In fact, in Death of the New Gods, he fought for what was called eons with no signs of fatigue. Eons, Ray. That is very, very long. Then there's his intelligence. He is one of the smartest beings in existence. I love this. He's described as being hundreds of steps above even the most intelligent humans. In Justice League Origin, Darkseid took on the entire Justice League, and he won using just combat strategy, where he himself used little to no power whatsoever, just strategy to overtake the Justice League. It's awesome. And it's, by the way, it gets so much better. He's one of the most skilled fighters in the multiverse. In Wonder Woman number 37, we saw Darkseid battle and beat Zeus. Zeus is one of the most powerful gods in DC Universe. He's at least on par with the Marvel version of God, Zeus, and Odin. And Wonder Woman, who has combat speed faster than Superman, it's documented, said she had never seen anyone fight with such speed as Darkseid. And this is Wonder Woman, again, who fights faster than Superman. Batman even attested to that. Now, let's talk about the truly terrifying part. Darkseid has powers that go beyond brute force. This is crazy. He's the god of tyranny, so he actually takes concepts like deception, strategy, intimidation. These things are just like, you know, if you look at a wiki of a character, these are just like abilities. Oh, he can intimidate people. He's got great strategy and tactics. No, for some reason, these are listed as actual powers of Darkseid. Darkseid has a superpower of intimidation, of strategy, of deception. This is someone who appears on the scene, and people with insanely strong willpower, Green Lanterns, who are known for their willpower, are effectively shut down, powerless, because of how scared they are of Darkseid. He's even mastered quantum mechanics. I don't know how that works. All that means is now he can actually warp reality himself. We saw this in that Multiversity series in 2015. Darkseid can now warp reality. That's just fun. And the really crazy part about all of this are that this is just a representation of his minor powers. Look, Thanos is powerful. He's a great character. But really, in comparison, he's a fraction of what Darkseid is. That's my point number one.
I mean, look, Darkseid is great, you know, for the DC Comics universe. I mean, nobody's going to really argue except for me, of course. that he is not one of those top villains in all of comics. But first off, I need to set the record straight about something that James said. He talked about how Drax, the Destroyer in the comics, killed Thanos. And that is true, but of course, James left out some important backstory behind it. Thanos, in that moment, was completely preoccupied trying to get Galactus out from underneath Annihilus's control because he realized how bad that was going to go for everybody. So every part of his attention, power, focus was against Annihilus trying to get Galactus free. And then Drax sneaks up behind him and then cheap shots him from behind when essentially he's depowered and not looking. If you want to call that an impressive victory, I guess so. I have some dark side losses because you feel the way James just talked about him. There's no way he lost to people that have no powers, right? You would be wrong, but I'll tell you about that a little bit later.
I love where we're going with this. All right, our judge, Adam, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Wow. Well, I keep considering healing factors, and I feel like Darkseid and Thanos are toe-to-toe on that regenerative ability. And then, you know, it's just, I don't know, I can't get the Omega beams out of my head. So I get, you know, the Darkseid is also playing that tune. His gravelly voice, just if I had to decide based on voices who's more powerful, I would have to go Darkseid at the moment. But I'm not going to do that. I promise I'm giving Thanos his fair shot. I just think, you know, Darkseid, that I can't even get that low. If I did, I think I'd like be needing like throat surgery. So there's something about that. But I'm still way open here. And understand, like, you know, and also, though, on the Thanos side, the very fact that Galactus respects Thanos, that's got some weight with me. I totally forgot about that moment. I think there's something to be said for that because Galactus is, you know, that's a whole other show for you guys, I'm sure. But I'm waffling, but I'm maybe inching with Darkseid.
You know, you can go to Brazil and get that really cool throat surgery to match any character you want. So I got a couple of numbers for you. If you want to get that gravelly undertones of what's his name, Darkseid. I felt like, you know, the Superman series from the 90s, I forget the actor's name. He's Canadian, oddly enough, who did Darkseid, has been the best voice for Darkseid so far out of a group of great voices. I'm just kind of sidebarring here. All right, listen, we've heard one point from both Ray and myself. We got a great judge who's kind of leaning towards Darkseid, but again, there's a whole lot more of this show to go. Stay tuned for point number two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, do what you got to do. Get us with your point number two.
Point number two, we've talked about the defense of Thanos, and I believe I have made my points with that based on what the judges said. So I'm going to talk about his offensive power next, because he is a planet buster, naturally, with no enhancement from the stones. He was fighting Drax the Destroyer, remember him. He found an easy way to win. He just destroyed the planet that they were on and beat Drax that way, as there was no more planet for Drax to hang on to. Easy. He fought Adam Warlock, who is also considered sort of a messiah, a godlike character in Marvel Comics, and he two-shot him. Two hits, and he put down Adam Warlock. So you want to talk about Darkseid being a godlike character? I guess it'll take Thanos two punches to take him down. Ooh, boy. He one-shot punched a Super Skrull, who, of course, is a Skrull embodied with the abilities of sometimes the entire Fantastic Four. One-shot him. One punch knocked him out. He was able to slap, backslap the Incredible Hulk aside when he was annoyed by him. He KO'd the Thing with one simple punch as well. Is this resonating yet? These are the hardest hitters in all of Marvel Comics, and Thanos is punching them. Just a simple straight punch, and he's taking them out of the battle, right? My other favorite thing is he had the Thing, and he had Professor Hulk, who I just mentioned, the two of them. And he did a Three Stooges bit where he grabbed each one by the back of their heads and slammed their heads together like coconuts. Like he was running around on a horse in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It was delightful. He easily dispatched in one-on-one combat characters such as Iron Man, Captain Marvel, The Thing, Silver Surfer, Beta Ray Bill, Ronan the Accuser, Namor, War Machine, and of course, Drax. These are people who stepped to Thanos 1v1 and immediately regretted that decision. In fact, that case of War Machine with the big, you know, the robotic suits and the massive, like, army, and an army's worth of arms on him, sure. Well, he punched a hole straight through War Machine and killed him. Straight through the suit, straight through the man, straight through the ammo, took him out. And let's talk about, Thanos also loves to do energy blasts, right? He can use his energy blast not only to hurt people. Yes, he can hurt people real, real bad, but he can also use them creatively. He can use an energy blast to teleport someone somewhere else and make them not his problem anymore. He can also make into a bubble of energy. You've heard about the idea of Sue Storm creating an energy bubble around somebody and then cutting off their oxygen. That's how she beat the Human Torch at one point. Well, he can do that as well. Maybe even better. In fact, the character that he was able to hold in one of these bubbles of energy, this blew my mind, was Vision. Vision, who can go intangible and walk through walls, could not get out of an energy bubble he was placed in by Thanos. Another one that really blew my mind was Stormbreaker, you know, the empowered Thor weapon, this time held by Beta Ray Bill. He was able to contain Stormbreaker in a bubble that it could not get out of. You're not supposed to be able to do that if you know anything about these weapons at all. Well, he did. And Beta Ray Bill was heartbroken. And soon after, he got his heart broken by Thanos when he got punched in the chest. It was atrocious. He also uses telepathy, Thanos does. He uses mind powers. He can take people over, possess them. He can then KO them after possessing them by essentially shutting down brain functions inside their brains, which leaves them in a catatonic state, unable to fight, or in some cases even continue forward. What is stopping him from looking deep into those ruby red glowing eyes of Darkseid, going in that little noggin, and then dropping him on the spot? You want to ask, can he make portals? Yes. Can he do teleportation of himself and others? Yes. Could he put Darkseid in another, you know, part of the universe, another dimension, and just wait around for 2 minutes and win by battlefield removal? The answer is yes. And the last thing I want to talk about here is Darkseid. James likes to talk about this. You never actually fight full-on Darkseid. You fight an avatar of Darkseid. What does that say about Darkseid's courage that he never even shows up in person? We should, by de facto, expect a weaker version of Darkseid than the one James is going to try to argue, because it's going to be an avatar of himself, because he's too chicken to show up to face the Mad Titan himself. And that's my point number two.
I love it. All right, listen, all I'm going to say is this. Okay, Thanos is definitely a planet buster. No argument there. But I'll juxtapose that with the fact that Darkseid actually has to take concentrated effort not to destroy the planet he's currently standing on. That's a fact. Again, you know, you're talking about wins that Thanos has. I love it. Again, the Hulk just beat Thanos in a recent comic book. It was a cool fight too, by the way. And Thanos did get some shots in, but the Hulk took him out fairly straightforward. You know, that whole scene of the Thing and Professor Hulk being three suits together. I love that. I'm not a fan of Professor Hulk. I don't like Professor Hulk or Smart Hulk in the MCU. So anytime that guy gets three stooges, I'm all for that. Good on you, Thanos. You know, great wins for Thanos. You know, he's got a history of amazing wins. So does Darkseid. The only thing is Darkseid takes out entire planets and armies of Kryptonian-level beings. More on that, my next point. And telepathy has levels, Ray. And Thanos has a high level of telepathy, but it's only a fraction of what Darkseid can do with his telepathy. You know, more on this as well. Let me get to my point number two. For my point number two, All right, you know, Adam, you were talking about it. Let's just do it. It's time to talk about the Omega Effect. This is the ultimate game changer that puts Darkseid in a league of his own, spells doom for Thanos in any confrontation. It really does. So Darkseid has a cosmic energy field known as the Omega Effect. This is a source of limitless power, grants him powers and abilities described as far beyond conventional understanding. I don't even know what that means because it's beyond conventional understanding. Look, this isn't just energy manipulation. It's described as a fundamental force of the universe that only Darkseid commands. And now my personal favorite thing that Darkseid has from all of this are his Omega beams. I love these. They're fired from his eyes. They can lock onto a target with godlike precision, as in they never miss. The beams can bend, twist, even split apart, pursue multiple targets at the same time. In Superman Batman number 13, the Omega beams were powerful enough to easily take out a bunch of Kryptonians. Justice League number 6, I love this. They badly injured Superman, the Omega beams did, and they've destroyed entire planets, which we saw in the Final Crisis series. Fun fact, they're fast enough to catch up with the Flash. I just love the Omega beams. And the Omega beams can disintegrate God-level beings on impact. In the New Gods number 15, they can erase gods from existence or send them into what's called the Omega Sanction, which is a state, it's an extra dimension, the state of perpetual living death that exists across multiple realities and dimensions. He's sent insanely powerful beings there. He can do that to Thanos. And it's a fact that Thanos has no defense against a power that can erase him utterly or trap him in eternal torment, which, by the way, is exactly how his son, a character named Thane, beat Thanos before. Now, Darkseid also had what is called cosmic awareness. It's his profound understanding of the universe on a cosmic level. He can break the fourth wall and influence what the writers of the comic book are doing. Don't know how that works, but it's something he's done before. He can perceive others even in different dimensions. And his awareness extends across the multiverse. The moment these two confront each other, Darkseid is going to know everything he needs to know about Thanos and how to defeat him. Darkseid also perfectly controls what is known as the essence of entropy and decay, which are forces that are capable of destroying some of the most powerful beings in existence. Look, to put this in perspective, nothing can survive in entropy, as in nothing. It's a state of nothingness. Even Doomsday, that Kryptonian-level savage being that killed Superman, Doomsday got put into entropy and completely just got destroyed. And this is something that Darkseid can just engulf Thanos with whenever he wants. Thanos won't stand a chance. And if that all wasn't enough, Darkseid can traverse time and space easily. He can travel dimensions using the Omega Effect. He can also create boom tombs at will. These are just like teleportation portals. He can teleport himself or others anywhere in the multiverse, any dimension. You cannot battlefield removal this guy. It's just not something you can do to Darkseid because he can get back from anywhere instantly. Darkseid also can unleash what are called eradicating shockwaves that decimate planets, which he did in Wonder Woman number 45. I just love this. And Darkseid also has the power of chronokinesis, which means he can control, stop, or even warp time. He made John Constantine, this great magic-based character who has contingency plans and magic plans to get himself out of anything you'd think he could get or anything. To prove a point, he actually warped time around John Constantine, where John Constantine couldn't do anything, and made each second last 5 days, where the rest of time in the world just moved on regular, just to say to John Constantine, yeah, I can do that, you ain't nothing. Now, he also has telekinesis that can push planets, can act as a force field, and this force field can easily tank Superman's attacks. He can also trap people in this force field from telekinesis as well. Darkseid can also absorb the life force of God-tier beings. This is crazy. He absorbed Zeus's, God Zeus's powers easily. He fed on energy of Zeus's children to amplify his power. I think it was Justice League number 50, which means Darkseid can absorb Thanos's life force as well, which will weaken Thanos. Also, let's go there. Darkseid's telepathy puts Professor X's to shame. In Justice League number 41, Darkseid invaded minds across dimensions. He once telepathically enslaved 3 billion people on a planet called Daxam. Fun fact, Daxam beings are like genetically identical to Kryptonians. He teleported the planet while they're under his mind control to a yellow sun in another galaxy. And all of a sudden, he's got 3 billion Superman-like powered, soldiers. By the way, fun fact, he teleported a planet to a different galaxy. That is crazy. Look, he can erase Thanos from existence. He can trap an eternal torment, overpower him with an army of godlike beings under his command because he could summon them, just like beings summon magical creatures to come to his aid. Again, this is a horrible matchup for Thanos. That is my point number two.
So much you're just not telling the whole story on, so much that you're just not being truthful about. What that one win that just happened in the year 2024 as we record this, the Hulk, after getting curb stomped by Thanos every single time they met for decade after decade after decade, Marvel must have finally decided we would like Hulk to have a win So there's a new storyline where the Infinity Stones each individually gain sentience, and they're trying to bond with heroes of the Marvel Universe and form a super team of, like, stone-enhanced heroes, and Thanos is going around trying to stop them. Well, the Stones were working with Hulk to stop him from getting one of those stones. So we're talking about Thanos with no stones versus Hulk with stones. It's not exactly an even side matchup in that particular case. And also, it was pretty weak. As far as the dark side stuff, entropy. Just encounter somebody and engage them with entropy. Why doesn't he just do that all the time? How has he ever lost a fight if that's a thing he actually does all the time? Well, wait, it isn't. Oh, he can always just return immediately after being defeated, summon a new avatar and teleport it straight to the battlefield. Why doesn't he do that? Because he doesn't ever really do that. If he gets battlefield removed, why doesn't he just teleport back? Because in comics, he also doesn't really do that, does he? So James talks about all these things he theoretically could do, but in actual stories that he's actually been in, it's not a thing that happened. Darkseid has a pile of losses against characters that if he could actually and did actually use this on the reg, would have none of these losses. You don't lose to Green Arrow when your name is Darkseid when you could just entropy him and win in a heartbeat. That's all I'm trying to say.
So boom tubes aren't part of Darkseid's always existing.
Apparently he forgot they existed when he fought Green Arrow and the Atom together.
One-offs, but again, okay, Ray, I get what you're doing. This is all good, but I don't think it's going to fall. Adam's going to fall for any of this. Look, we are at the turning point. Adam, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, I got to say, the Thanos argument really gained some ground there, especially with the point, because it was in the back of my mind. I mean, I don't see Darkseid pulling the entropy card like on a regular basis. So I'm back and forth, but I'm inching towards Thanos now because the one-offs, I'm sure the Hulk has one-punched him and whatnot and Infinity Gems or not. But I think there's something to be said about the heavyweights that Thanos has taken down compared to Darkseid and some of the tools at his disposal. And I believe with the boom tubes, I want to say that Darkseid also is required to use a mother box for those. Or is he leveled up beyond the need of such a device?
Yeah, Darkseid doesn't have to use a mother box to create the boom tubes. But, you know, we've seen Desaad, Kalibak, and a bunch of other apocalyptic, you know, denizens using them.
Got it.
So apparently anybody just has one. Apparently every building above 10 floors has a boom tube in Los Angeles.
Ray, we all know you don't.
Not a big deal.
Ray, we all know you don't get invited anywhere, especially to the 10th floor of any building in LA after that incident, which will remain nameless.
Stood on many roofs, James Gavsey. Don't ask me why.
Not until security got you. All right, listen, we've heard a bunch of points from both of us, but it's got to come to a conclusion. Stay tuned for point number 3. And we're back. All right. It's now or never. Ray, do what you got to do. Hit us with your point number 3.
You know what I'm going to do for my point number 3. The only question is, James, what do you do about it, James? I'm going to talk about the Infinity Stones, and I'm going to talk about the Infinity Gauntlet, because that's where Thanos takes his already ridiculous amount of power and then allows himself to be universal at the end of the day. Let's talk about each of the stones briefly, because we kind of know what they are, but let's talk about it. The Time Stone can be used to freeze time. You talk about Darkseid was able to slow down time for Constantine and make him watch it. Well, Thanos could just freeze time on Darkseid as well. Or he could reverse time. If something started going badly, the Time Stone can just do the old Dormammu, I've come to bargain, and he could just keep Darkseid in that loop forever because that's a thing that we've seen can happen. The Space Stone. Now, that's how he can make portals. He pulled the Silver Surfer, cosmic-level being, into a portal to put him wherever the heck he wanted to. It also allows him, among other things, to make clones of himself. So you talk about Darkseid having some sort of, like, wild army that suddenly he's summoning onto the battlefield, like our armies are suddenly being a part of it? Well, Thanos' army is like 10 billion Thanoses, and I don't think that's the heat that you want in this fight, James, so maybe we keep it to a one-on-one battle. The Reality Stone is the one that he used in order to do the snap, as we all know it to be. But it also allows him to deconstruct atoms and do that sort of metastasizing of molecules that he knows to do. He's turned Thor into glass. He's turned Nova into a pile of Legos. He was able to use it to create his own version of Toon Force, if you can believe it, where Wolverine turned his bones turned from adamantium to rubber. Wolverine all of a sudden had rubber bones and had a real hard time dealing with that fact. Again, what's to stop him from doing any of this to Darkseid? The Mind Stone. That's what he can use even more effectively to control and confuse minds. Darkseid is a very powerful mind. I'm not going to pretend that he's not. Is he more powerful than Thanos with the power of the Mind Stone? I don't know. That's a tough question. I'll leave it to our judge to decide. And then the last one's the Power Stone. Of course, this is what he could use to bust planets. He could use it to destroy gigantic red stars. Mistress Death, right? Said that he is her superior. A literal embodiment of death. Took one look at Thanos with the Power Stone and said, I can't hang with you. I understand that there's respect, but then there's also respect. And when the embodiment of death looks at you and goes, I don't want any part of that, you know you're doing something pretty good right there. He's also used the Power Stone to just obliterate things. He went down to Mephisto's hell realm and beat him there. He took Captain America's shield and destroyed it. He sunk the entire west coast of the United States, and he went to Asgard and took it out. Destroyed all of Asgard as well. Pretty impressive stuff. Could he destroy Asgard? Yes. Could he then go and destroy Apocalypse? The planet? Probably. Probably. Isn't that where Darkseid gets a lot of his power from? Just saying. And finally, the Soul Stone. That allows him to attack Darkseid not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. He uses that in sort of a necromantic way to steal people's souls. And it's very, very hard to keep going when your soul has been taken away from you. But the last thing to talk about is Darkseid comes with a certain level of arrogance. And that arrogance often slips him up in battles. He thinks he's better than everyone he faces, doesn't really think about the concept that he could be beaten. We'll talk about that in my final rebuttal. And the last thing, and that's going to slip him up here as well. He's going to think he's better than Thanos, who's going to hit him way harder than he thought he could with something he was not expecting and win that way. And then finally, Thanos in comics has absorbed the Cosmic Cube, which has allowed him to put his essence into literally everything in the universe. He became a god who is one with literally every atom existing in our universe. You argue Darkseid's a god, Thanos is a god too. What's up? And that's my point number three.
See, this is what I love about Ray. He's got a really good grasp of, you know, the immediate, but sometimes you got to think outside of the immediate and really kind of see things from, you know, overhead looking down. Now, in terms of all the stones, Darkseid just is an avatar, never mind his true self, which, by the way, it's going to be his true self in this battle, already has ways to kind of take care of all of this. The time stone, well, Darkseid already talked to you about that. Can, you know, he's got chronokinesis, he can control time as well. Portals, Darkseid, yeah, he moved a planet to a different galaxy through a portal. Pretty sure that's a good thing. Darkseid can withstand reality warping. He's that same Darkseid through the new 52, through the whole multiverse change, whatever. He's still the same person. Good luck trying to do anything to him with that. Mind Stone, yeah, Darkseid has something, which I'll talk about, that can just keep his mind absolutely sound. And, you know, you talk about the arrogance of a Darkseid. I'd say it's of a high level of confidence. But Thanos has something that's way, way worse, and that is a slight issue with his confidence. And that is something that's actually defeated him, even when he had all the Infinity Stones. And, you know, this is the other thing, too. Thanos is a universal threat. He's of universal significance when he has the stones. But here's the problem. Darkseid is a multiverse being. He's a multiverse threat. He is not something that just concerns himself with the universe. This is the multiverse that Darkseid is dealing with. And when he has his power up, which he does, it's for the multiverse, not just the immediate universe. So for my point number three, let's just go to what Darkseid is going to bring to the table. If Thanos has the Infinity Gems and the power of the Cosmic Cube, fantastic, good for him. I'll see all of that because Darkseid has what's called the anti-life equation. Now, the anti-life equation allows Darkseid to defeat Thanos insanely easily, even with the stones. It's a mathematical formula that grants absolute control over the minds and wills of all sentient beings and forces across, I'm going to say it, the multiverse. Nothing can withstand it. Everything is now under his control when he uses it. Darkseid has overpowered the minds of cosmic entities and that oversee the fabric of the universe. Ray, you talked about death. We're talking about entities that oversee the multiverse of the DC Comics, not just the universe. And Darkseid controls all of them with the anti-life equation. Look, all this is going to nullify the Infinity Gauntlet because at the end of the day, even though Darkseid has powers to match it, all the Infinity Stones, Darkseid with the anti-life equation is going to take over the mind of Thanos. Remember, he takes over the minds of the multiversal beings. Thanos is not going to be a problem. All of a sudden, he's got Thanos like a puppet. And if Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet, he's like, great, I'll use you in that universe. And I'll keep getting things going on in every other universe because I'm controlling the multiverse. He is controlling the one above all, that version of God within DC Comics, because he controls literally everything that is sentient and that has a thought. Look, Adam Warlock, this is really crazy. In an earlier issue of somewhere Marvel, is confronting Thanos, who has the Infinity Gauntlet. And somehow Adam Warlock played on the fact that Thanos had a confidence issue. He's like, do I really deserve these? Or have you? Adam Warlock saw that and convinced, this is crazy, convinced Thanos to give him the Infinity Gauntlet with all the stones. He just handed it over and said, yeah, you're right, you should take it. I don't even know what I'm doing with this anymore. That's crazy. That's with someone who just convinced him with words, with no mind control whatsoever. What do you think Darkseid is going to do with the anti-life equation that lets him control everything in God, literally God within the multiverse? You think that's going to be something he can do and say, Thanos, not only can you not use that, give it to me, I'm going to take it, now you're serving me, because that's what he did to every living being in the multiverse. That is something that's going to overcome, overtake, and absolutely take out Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlets. But let's kind of regress a little bit, shall we? Because let's talk about Thanos and some of the losses he's had. Now, Thanos, again, he lost to Drax. We saw that, all that. I guess, according to Ray, if Thanos gets distracted, all of a sudden his invulnerability dips somehow. I don't get how that works. And Drax is able to punch a hole through him. Fantastic. I wonder if Darkseid can distract him. Here's another one. Thanos lost to Kazar. Now, if you're not familiar with Kazar, Kazar is this really cool Tarzan-like character that has, I guess, like a saber-toothed tiger with him. And they actually fought, and Kazar defeated Thanos with a series of left and right hooks to the face. Somehow overtook Thanos with right hooks, left hooks, and knocked him down into a volcano where he got set in lava and, you know, took him a while to get out. He did. And even Thanos was like, how in the heck did I get beat by this guy? Now, look, that's just something I wanted to bring up. And here's the thing about Darkseid. He's got lots of wins. He's beaten Superman, the Justice League, armies of superpowered beings. He's taken out pantheons of gods and the whole thing. But my favorite one is when he beat Batman, when Batman had the Hellbat armor. This is the ultimate armor in all of DC Comics. The entire Justice League infused it with its power, its tech, its abilities. And then Batman used way more than 2 weeks prep time to get in, put it on, and then take on Darkseid. And Darkseid beat Batman, who had the power of 2 weeks prep time and the Hellbat armor, quite arguably the greatest armor in all of DC Comics. Thanos is great. He's got the Infinity Gauntlets. He's got all this great stuff. But Darkseid, in his true state, can overpower anything he's got. Plus, he's got the anti-life equation, which gives him absolute control over everything that will ever have a sentient thought. That is my point number three.
I mean, no. No, I just look at you and I say no. Here's an example, and this is what I've been waiting to talk about here, is all the times Darkseid's been beaten pretty basic ways. If everything you just told us is totally true about the character of Darkseid, James, then why did Superman punch Darkseid, shove him into a boom tube, and just send him back to Apocalypse to win the day? Surely he just would have come back immediately from that battlefield removal, but he didn't. Doomsday, remember Doomsday, you argue that, you know, Darkseid could whoop on him. Doomsday was face to face, 2 inches away, and Darkseid's like, I'm gonna hit you with these Omega beams and make you my fool. And Doomsday just literally poofed them out like they were just exhaust from a Vespa. And Darkseid was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And Doomsday shunted the Omega beams. How about in a crossover when Darkseid tries to shoot those matter removal beams at Galactus? Remember him? Galactus. And what did Galactus do? He just ate them, had no effect done to him, and then blasted Darkseid so hard that Darkseid was forced to kneel at the feet of Galactus. Right. Should I also mention that these super powerful, ridiculous Omega beams were dodged by Batman? A guy with no powers was able to dodge the Omega beams? They're obviously not that good. Come on now. Darkseid has put up losses to Aquaman, to Wonder Woman, to Green Arrow and the Atom. He's lost to Batman. This is a guy who's lost to Cyborg before. This is not a threat to be taken seriously if you really think about it. And you argue, James, oh, this is actually his true self. Why? His true self never shows up. His true self has never been the one to answer the bell. He's scared. He'll only ever send an avatar, and he'll only send an avatar to here. Look, at the end of the day, Thanos wants to win fights and conquer people. He does not want to rule them. The reason why you say he always loses in the end is because he's so sick of winning, he wants to go back to zero and take everything over again, which he's become an omnipotent being three different times. He likes the journey, not the destination. That's why ultimately he's doomed to fail. It's not because he isn't great. It's because he doesn't want to rule. He was a farmer because he got tired of winning. All of this is why Thanos is absolutely going to win this battle today.
All right, well, all of that is great, but here's the thing. We're at the point where Adam has to make a decision. Adam, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself, and it's time for you to use your judge greatness to come up with a winner for this battle. But before we get to what Adam has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today's patron of the week is another relative newcomer, although it's not like they just joined, but it's Jamie Keller. Jamie Keller is here. Jamie Keller is our patron of the week.
Jamie Keller sounds like a tough name, a warrior name. And you know what? If you have a warrior, I'm going to have to put you up against what I call the ultimate badass warrior of DC Comics. You know where I'm going with this, Ray? Let's have Jamie Keller go up against Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. I really thought you were going to say the ultimate warrior right there. That would have been where I would have gone because I love 80s wrestling. The point I'm trying to make is Jamie Keller does not win that fight against the ultimate warrior. No one could. R.I.P. James. Other James, not you. But let's talk a little bit about Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman's very, very powerful. She's very, very strong. James often forgets and then sometimes remembers that Wonder Woman helped Superman pull the Earth on a Green Lantern chain. It just depends on which side of the argument he's on at any given notice. Kind of weird how that works out, huh? Anyway, just things I notice. Jamie Keller is going to get in the ring with Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman is going to be using her, like, centuries of combat knowledge. Obviously, she's an Amazonian princess. She's a great warrior. And she is going to know tactics beyond all recognition. And that's why Jamie Keller is going to surprise her when he curls up into a ball and starts crying. Yeah, she's used to people fighting in all different ways, but not used to somebody going with the armadillo tier method of combat. She doesn't know what to make of it. She leaves in order to go research it to find out the best way to fight against it because she doesn't like to attack a wounded animal. That's when they're at their strongest. But for the sake of a who would win battle, that's battlefield removal. She's off the battlefield for 2 minutes. Jamie Keller wins by barely trying.
You know what? I got to tell you, the only way you're really going to beat Wonder Woman is through convincing them to, you know, remove themselves from the field of battle. I think that's brilliant. Well done, Jamie Keller. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Adam, look, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Thanos and Darkseid.
This is a story of the ages, I think. I mean, we're talking about two titans, two giants in their industries, both with hubris galore, both living eons, as was pointed out by both of you. So one dances with death, one loves death, while the other seems to almost embody death and is the antithesis of their counterpart, the New Gods. I mean, we have Apocalypse, we have Titan as far as home bases. It's funny, I didn't hear anything mentioned of the parademons per se for a good old Darkseid, but that's good because I know this is a one-on-one fight, and Thanos, he does seem to be more of the solo guy. Yes, they're both impervious. They both seem to have thick skin. However, I would say we did notice in the storytelling, if I were to just talk about psychological skin, I would say that Darkseid is thicker in that area than Thanos is. But continuing, that is not a winner. That is not a loser. But let's see, if we're talking about somebody that needs their binky, perhaps Thanos is that binky needer. Now, you could have our binky, we can have our security blanket, and we could still win this fight. I think Thanos, he has a reputation with a various munch. I mean, the fact that he took down Galactus, or at least temporarily got the respect of Galactus, that impresses me, especially when I think of the pure giant looking Galactus in his beautiful pink and purple, and not that gaseous cloud from that Fantastic Four movie, which really infuriates me. So yes, if you mentioned the gaseous cloud as respecting him, then this fight would be over already. Darkseid, on the other hand, I mean, he's also an ambassador, so to speak. A political heavy hitter because of his negotiations with New Genesis. He keeps them at bay at all times. So in a way, having a Cold War constantly in the back of your head while dealing with trying to get the anti-life equation and keeping your parademons fed and digging giant lava pits into the core of your planet and setting up similar apocalypse drill stations on other planets, that's a lot of management. I don't see Thanos with that kind of personnel issue. In fact, I don't think he has anybody on a 401k program the way I would assume Darkseid does. So there's that, but that could also weigh in Thanos' benefit because, again, that's one less thing on his plate. We already know he's got the psychological needs, the, like, I want mommy to love me with Lady Death. But on the other hand, he doesn't have the weight of whose birthday is it? Is it Parademon Glenn's birthday today? Let's get everybody together in the break room. I'm going through this. That does make this interesting. Both of them have the ability at different times to manipulate time. Both of them, with or without the anti-life equation or the Infinity Gauntlet, can take, you know, they can move about through different forms of portals, teleportation, what have you. So if I want to just take that off the table, because it was mentioned, oh, like Superman just knocked Darkseid through a portal, boom, it was over. I want to take that off the table. I want to, like, picture both of these beings mano-a-mano, rolling up the sleeves in the dirt, the way Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller, in that giant dirt pit with old grizzled Batman, versus that kind of dark side eyed looking at the, I can't remember their name. Somebody will have to tell us later. The mutant leader.
I follow where you're going with this.
So I want to picture this fight, and you both gave me a painting that has me picturing that fight. But I also have to talk about, I mean, we brought up the teleportation, the mental abilities of both. I mean, I kept picturing like someone like Professor X taking on one of these guys. But then I also just think, well, he can never get into Magneto's head because of his special helmet. And I look at Darkseid's beautiful blue little thing for his balding head and Thanos' little crown. I mean, sometimes they're both without their helmets, but most of the times they are helmeted. And I would assume after hundreds of thousands of years, they can keep telepathy out of the picture. So that too, off the table as far as who would win. The Omega beams were brought up. And I heard, you know, there was an excellent argument from the Thanos that Omega beams have been defeated. I don't know. I feel like when I picture those zigzagging red lines, I picture like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer just glazing through the air. And that streak is impenetrable. And it helps you see. It helps Santa get where he needs to go. And I think those Omega beams will find their target. And so I'm picturing them hitting Thanos. And yes, that shield is going to, it's going to take some penetration. It's going to take a long perpetual Omega beam. But does Darkseid get tired? Does he suddenly say, hold on, water break? Parademon, get over here. I need my Stanley. I don't think he does. I think he's able to keep that going. And he could keep it going from a distance in this imagined dirt pit I'm picking. But then Thanos, yes, he could take it. And he can get up close. And he could maybe even take his glowing hands. And he could put his thumbs right in Darkseid's Omega Beam eyes. And what would happen then? Would it reflect back on Darkseid? Would it just tickle? Would it burn through Thanos' thumbs? These are things that we got to figure out, that to get towards the end of this. Now, I haven't even brought up the Infinity Gauntlet. And yes, I'm taking the movie off the table. I don't want to think about the snap. I think there's a lot of ethical ramifications, both good and bad. I mean, Thanos, when he did that, he was thinking about, well, it's a lot less people for need jobs. He was thinking about, you know, welfare and whatnot. He had a lot of thoughts. And as you brought up, in his deepest of hearts, maybe he does want to be that simple farmer where he's just like putting his hand through the wheat fields as he goes, a la gladiator style. Yeah, I see that and I respect that. You mentioned all the different gems, time, space, reality, power, soul, mind. I wonder if the soul gem alone were to be something that he would use on Darkseid. I feel like the two of them would have a heart-to-heart moment. You mentioned spiritual awareness. I see suddenly the both of them maybe in that giant dirt pit, getting into their, like, just a crouching position, legs cross applesauce, as we say to our kids these days, and they just sit looking at each other in a soulful way. The Omega beams are still blasting this whole time, though, as they're doing this soulful moment. And I think without the distraction of the Omega beam, sure, it's coming in hard, it's coming in fast, and maybe there's other heroes around. Like, yes, the Hulk, he's taking him down, but also the Hulk's taking him. Now, I wasn't impressed by mentioning Beta Ray Bill. I mean, Beta Ray fans out there, don't hate me on that. I love Beta Ray. I just feel like as far as your Asgardian weapon wielders, he's, you know, sometimes he's got things going on, sometimes he doesn't. But then, you know, back to Darkseid here. He is, I'd say, of the two, more identifies as a god. I mean, if you were to choose his pronoun, it would be a god. And I don't know necessarily if Thanos sees himself that way. I see him, he sees, as you were saying, a journey that he is on. He doesn't want to make it to the end. He wants to continue. We've seen him at the end, and he got bored. I think he had Wolverine as a pet, or, like, you know, something involving the Punisher. That being said, I got to get down to the brass tacks. So I'm picturing the two of them sitting across from each other. They've had their fight. They've had their physical battles. They've had their power battles. And then I think back to the fact that at one point, Darkseid did indeed take on a Batman in the Hell armor, which is the most OP that could have had. Every superhero in the DC universe contributed to that. It was like a Secret Santa, but Batman was the only recipient of everything in there. I have to give the win to Darkseid. Back to that voice as well. If it was a singing competition, Darkseid would win, and he wins in this battle.
And there you have it. This was incredible. I can't believe the story. I can totally believe the story that Adam took us on, the journey. I love the fact that both of them would kind of be sitting down, kind of analyzing, fighting each other on multiple planes of existence. All of a sudden, powers would just negate things they could do, both of them could do, would not be a factor anymore. And it just comes down to an actual fight. And I do think the difference between both of these, as Ray stated, is that Thanos is about the journey, figuring out more about him. Darkseid's already been on the journey. He's more about the destination. Those two factors alone give Darkseid the win. I couldn't agree more. By the way, beating Batman in Hellbat armor with 2 weeks prep time, that is unheard of. I love this decision. This was epic, and it was an epic decision by a judge. Race to Canis, you did a great job. You came up a little short. I was super worried when you brought up the Infinity Stones and what have you that we'd get a repeat performance of last year. You fell a little short, but still did great. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling.
I loved the story. I'm going to start right there. And I do think the idea, and James, you never brought this up last time. You brought it up this time, which is people on the Who Would Win Show Facebook group, which is now over, what, 112,000 people as I last looked at it. A lot of people in there. And they like to argue that Batman with 2 weeks prep time beats literally every character in all of fiction, nonfiction, history. You can't beat him. And the fact that you brought this up for the first time ever, I was not prepared for that. I'd forgotten about that storyline. It is very, very impressive, a feat that I'm glad you forgot the first time around, quite frankly. That being said, I absolutely still should have won. I don't know what happens in the minds of judges when I give them perfect avenues to victory for my competitor, and then they listen to you instead. I would argue that those are not headphones that our judges are wearing. Those are Ray repellent gear that you hand them before the battle. When are they going to start listening to me other than the first time we did this fight? Look, Showdown September has one more fight to go. I'm a little bit confused because the next battle is actually going to come out on October 2nd. I don't understand. Are we starting Shocktober? Are we doing a final battle of Showdown September? We need to figure this out. I really assumed I was going to win here again for the second time and then not worry about it, have a laugher, and move straight on to Shocktober. Now I'm confused for more reasons than just this.
You know, I think you got to kind of see what our judge does, Adam Rose, in terms of crafting a story, because I was all over the place with what you just said, Ray. I'm super confused with all of it. Look, all of this will be made officially very, very clear in the next episode of Who Would Win. But until that time, Adam Rose, you killed it for your first time on the Who Would Win show, having to make a judgment and be the judge over probably, most likely, the biggest battle we've ever had on this show itself. And you absolutely killed it, knocked it out of the park. Please come back and bring your greatness back as judge once more. Until that time, though, tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Well, at first it was an honor, and these are like, these battles are like a dream come true for 10-year-old me. It's what I've been thinking about. It's what I've been drawing poorly for like since I was a little kid. In fact, I did like make it a little attempt to make my own Dark Side and Thanos at the beginning of this. I think my Dark Side's a little better, so maybe that got in my head too. Who knows? You can find me. I have a website that has like, you know, can send you to like a huge detective from Titan Comics, AdamHarryRose.com. That's Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, AdamHarryRose.com. And then on Instagram, I am Shazam Cap. That's Shazam, C-A-P. That's me on IG. And then I am Adam Rose on Facebook. And I can't wait to join on this the discussion on your group page. And of course, Twitter, I'm Adam Rose 74, or I guess it's called X. But that's those are the big places you can find me. Yeah, Huge Detective issue 2 just came out. And yeah, I'm excited for people to see Kraven the Hunter in December.
I love it. All right, Ray, listen, again, great job. Great performance. I think he came up literally an inch or two short from a victory, so nothing to be ashamed of, although your head may go there anyway. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Obviously, you can find me on Threads, the only social media site, at AlmightyRay316. That's where we're going to need to talk about this. Now, let me just say right now, coming into this battle, I was very, very excited about the Kraven the Hunter movie. Look, I'll be honest with you. The Sony Marvel Pictures haven't all worked. They haven't all been hits. Basically, I think we pretty much as a unit all agree the only good one that's come out is Madam Web. So the point that I'd like to add here is how excited I was at the idea of an R-rated Kraven the Hunter film. By just recency alone, you can't make an R-rated superhero movie without it making over $1 billion. So that should be the minimum benchmark I expect Kraven to hit, being an R-rated superhero film. And it looks great. Look, Kraven the Hunter, one of my favorite characters in all of Marvel Comics. I love his stories with Spider-Man. I love some of the other stuff that he's done. The whole one where he becomes Spider-Man, that's a fantastic... Anyway, the point I'm trying to make with all of this is, unfortunately, due to the decision from one Adam Rose, I have to start hashtag boycott Kraven the Hunter. I'm sorry... None of you are allowed to go see it now. We have to teach judges that Ray is Right is not just a movement, it's a phenomenon. And when 5 or 6 people don't go to see Kraven the Hunter because I asked them not to on this show right now, I don't care that James is going to convince 150 more people to go because he's going to say go to it. The point is, when I see those final ticket receipts, $1.1 billion, for Kraven the Hunter, I'm going to know deep in my heart, it could have been 1.10000045. And I think I've made a difference. Judges need to learn and learn to respect the Rainiacs and Awkward Allies out there in our audience. So hashtag boycott Kraven the Hunter, but you know, maybe second weekend, go see it. I don't know. It looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good. And then the scene that's Rhino's in it too, which I've been waiting for Rhino to make an appearance in live action. We get to see it. I absolutely can't wait.
Wait, he appeared in that one Spider-Man movie, James. Don't you remember? Paul Giamatti, ladies and gentlemen.
I know.
Star of the movie Sideways. How could we forget? So I understand how we could forget so
yeah.
soon.
Yeah. Luckily, he moved on to Billions, like immediately after. I think that was a good call. All right. Remember, you could find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabzy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads, oddly enough, and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.